Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. Bill Russell and I are with Dr. Robert, who founded The Natural Step. When a research cancer oncologist doctor makes the kind of radical life change that you made, late 80s, there has to be a reason.
Yes.
I think that your story, your personal story of how you went from one kind of concern for living systems to another kind of concern may in some ways represent the larger picture of what you're doing with The Natural Step. The short form of your story, please. What happened that got you from one perspective to a different way of living your life?
Yeah. Well, first, I've had a personal interest since as long as I can remember about sustainability issues. I've been worried all the way back as a child because they were ruining the place where I was living. My play yard were simply ruined, and I was standing watching out the window and asking myself, when will there be an end to this, and then they will live happily ever after? And what will that be? And so it has been a personal interest with me and a worry with me as long as I can remember. Then, when I started as a cancer scientist, a few things helped me to draw some conclusions that later on changed the course of my life. One was to see how wonderful people are when they are supporting each other. There is no limit to how much people are prepared to sacrifice when it is about supporting their dear ones when they get cancer. I saw a never-ceasing stream of cancer-diseased kids coming with their parents by their hands, and the way they fight to do something about it is just incredible. And they grow in powers. People are much, much, much stronger than they believe when they live their traditional lives. Secondly, I'm a cancer cell scientist. So I'm not only a medical doctor treating patients. I was at the time also a cancer scientist studying cells in the microscope. And once it hit me so hard when I was standing there looking into one of those cells, and it was like a little microcosm, which it is. And after a while, when you have studied something very deeply, it is like you almost enter it. And though it is so small, you are almost standing in it. And considering that this is a cosmos of life events taking place in one single cell, and yet it governs all life on Earth, and you can't negotiate with cells. You can't ask them to transport mercury if they can't. You can't ask them to break down CFCs if they don't know how to do it. So on that level, it would be possible, I thought, to come around all the stumbling blocks that are linked to the adversarial aspects of the sustainability dialogue, because everyone is made up of cells. Politicians are made up of cells. It's scientifically proven that they are. And national economists are made up of cells, and scientists, and everyone, even the Pope. So why not use that metaphor on that level, which goes beyond politics, which goes beyond religious beliefs and everything? Why not try to reach consensus that we must meet the fundamental needs of the living cell that merges us together with plants, life even? And the difference between our cells and plants, the cells of plants, the differences are so small that it is almost embarrassing. This was the starting point. Maybe I can now merge the two together, my personal interest for sustainability issues and my professional outview, to create a consensus-building process. And that is what the Natural Step is.
There is a particular genius that you have picked the story of our times, the myth, which is science, to have found the key to how we think about everything and then take it to the place where we need it so much.
Yeah, at least it is a possible key, or one of the keys that was not so elaborated at the time. There are a number of other keys, but this one was not elaborated, or it was not explored as much as I think that it should, so I picked that one.
This may sound a little odd, the comparison. A lot of business people have a very high regard for Jack Welch, the now chairman of General Electric. He's held in very high regard for what he's been able to accomplish, for the way he runs his business. If you look at what Jack Welch has done, by and large, it is commonsensical. It is, look at what I'm trying to accomplish. get information about it, make decisions based on that, allow people to support that, be mm-hmm. clear about what you're objective about. But by and large, what a lot of people think of as just this incredible personality seems to be someone who is just exercising common sense. And it occurs to me, because it's sort of similar, to what you've done, perhaps in a more systematic way, which is essentially to take a commonsensical approach without any substantive biases and say, if we first understand where we are
right.
and how we got here
right.
and then have a sense of where we want to be,
yeah.
then we might be able to figure out how to get there. Now, that seems commonsensical.
That it is.
Now, I don't want to take anything away from what you've done.
But it is. And in fact, it builds on how almost all individual brains operate. The individual brain is programmed to be a super genius when it comes to systems thinking. We've had profound difficulties to teach our most advanced supercomputers to even resemble the ingeniosity that each individual brain has with regard to capacity. It is like putting all computers in the world together in one network, in one single brain.
And you get born with it.
Yeah, you were born with
that's
it.
That's raw material.
Yeah. But in spite of that, the individual brain is so smart about systems thinking. I mean, the computers are good at other things, like maths and calculations that are repeated with any number of figures and stuff like that. But when it comes to systems thinking, we are so superior. But the sad part of the story is that groups of people are generally dumber than the dumbest participant of the whole group when it comes to systems thinking. Systems thinking means to identify the basic principles of the system and to identify the basic principles of success for planning in that system. That is what the individual brain is so good at. But groups of people generally don't do that together. They don't, when they sit down around a table and trying to go for sustainability or trying to solve any complex problem, they don't lay out the principles first that define success, critically assess those principles, allow each other to express their concerns and points of view until everyone has a shared mental model of what they're trying to do. It is like playing soccer or football without agreeing on what it's all about first. And who would even watch a game like that? Grown-up men playing with a ball in a confused manner. The whole excitement lies in the fact that the spectators and the referee and the players have a shared mental model of what it's all about. And we've tried to play the family game sustainable development with each other without laying out the principles on the table first. And that leads to confusion. It leads to people saying this is flaky. And
that's a technical term.
Yes.
Scientific.
And people in business consider themselves as rational, so they say this is irrational and so forth. So we simply took the scientific language and systems thinking and demonstrate that being non-sustainable in business is irrational. And we also have taken some time in elaborating what will happen economically to companies who don't pay attention to those principles, because they are very robust and very easy to learn.
And that framework is called the Natural Step.
Framework. Because the Natural Step is an organization that tries to elaborate and refine this framework and disseminate it and test it and implement it in as many businesses as possible and learn about that process. So that's the Natural Step. And the framework is a very, very distinguished specific manual for how to play the game. It's like what you read on a box of a family game. How do you play this game? And that's what it's all about.
It is a framework, and yet it is as I'm so charmed with your talking about the cell. And when you talk about the cell, I also see almost superimposed an image of the Earth from space. Mm-hmm. And you talk about scalability a mm-hmm. lot, from small mm-hmm. to large and mm-hmm. large to small and over time. It's as if this framework has elastic walls as well, mm-hmm. and that it's not rigid, and it no. gives you places to go and ways to learn and throughput and a chance for this to be a living system instead of a stupid business model.
Exactly. That's true. And you can learn so much from that dynamic perspective. It also has some spiritual dimensions to it that you can gain if you don't talk about spirituality, or if you don't want to use a spiritual voice when I talk about it, because that would pollute the spiritual dimension in anyone who listens to it. But The thing is that if you look into the single cell, it is a cosmos of life events, as I said, but it is also so similar. So, for instance, even if on the gene level, it is amazing how similar we are to the chimpanzees. More than well over 98% of the whole genome, all genes are identical, which some people find embarrassing, and others find it a sort of relief. but nevertheless...
Humbling, don't forget humbling.
And right. We do share 80% of our DNA with trees.
Yes, well, so there you go. It's very, very important. We are part of nature. And if you apply a very strict vocabulary when you bring that message around, it makes people feel their own personal spirituality very often. And that is also very helpful in having a cell perspective so that it doesn't all boil down to physics or mathematics or boring diagrams.
Indeed not. This is Dr. Carl-Henrik Robert, who is the founder of The Natural Step. He is our guest here on The Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I invite you to join us when we return with Dr. Robert.